Welcome to another edition of Ghost Biz here on Novo 103.5 on the Business Report. I'm Gary Struble. Every week I have the pleasure of chatting to the finance ghost who goes around in the halls of power, finding out what's going on and giving us an update on what is happening on listed stocks, both here in Southern Africa as well as international. Ghost, welcome to the show. Let's start out with a company that has a bit of a strange name, and perhaps you can just comment on the strangeness of the name, but is delivering fantastic results. And that's, of course, Karooooo. Tell us a little bit more about what's going on there.
Hi, Gary, and to all the listeners, and thank you, as always, for having me on the show. Yes, it is a very strange name, Karooooo, with five O's, if you go and count them all. Always have to remember that when I'm writing about the company. I remember reading the origin story of the name at some point, but it didn't really stay with me. It didn't leave much of an impact. What certainly does leave an impact, though, is the growth at the company. And it's just great to see, you know, not only because I am a shareholder, but also because it's just lovely to see a local business doing well on the international stage. Karooooo owns Cartrack, a much easier name and a name that listeners will almost certainly know about. And they actually changed their name. You know, it used to be Cartrack, the name of the listed company, and then they changed it to Karooooo when they did their offshore listed structure. But anyway, Cartrack is the brand that people know and love, and it's really working. You know, they've actually expanded internationally. They did it into Asia during the pandemic, and obviously the lockdowns were much longer than anyone expected. So it really hurt their growth for a while. They kind of resourced this whole office out that side, and it was very expensive, and it took forever to for sales to come through. It was quite a concern for investors. I actually trimmed my stake accordingly. Kind of wish I hadn't, though, because it's done so well since then. But all of that is now firmly in the rear view mirror. They really are doing a lot better. I mean, they've just announced growth in adjusted earnings per share of 31% year on year. That's been driven by a 17% increase in subscribers. And what's also quite nice to see is operating profit that was up 22%. So growing at a faster rate than revenue growth, which obviously means the business is becoming more efficient. And just to add a little cherry on top here, they've gone and revised their guidance higher for the 2025 full year. So a very good story right now at Karooooo to match all those vowels, and long may it continue.
Let's touch on another company that many Namibians would be familiar with their products, whether positively or negatively opined about those particular products, and that's British America Tobacco. They're on track to deliver low single-digit organic revenue growth, which means that the market's are still growing for cigarettes and related products. They have, however, branched out into other products, and things like vaping come to mind. Perhaps just to tell us a little bit about British America Tobacco, and are there still growth markets for companies like this?
Yeah, look, I have a pretty bearish view on British American Tobacco, so, you know, take it from where it comes. Maybe it's a generational thing, I'm not sure, but, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, I think, offhand, maybe one of my friends still smokes and is smoking the more updated products, for want of a better description. So not the old school cigarettes. You know, I grew up with parents who smoked and eventually stopped. And I think in South Africa, the amount of people smoking has definitely gone down. But to be fair, on my recent travels to Europe, it was a completely different story. Turkey, for example, the amount of smokers is just incredible. I would say more smokers rather than non-smokers. So, you know, some of the markets, it's still a very popular thing, despite all the well-known health issues. Other markets, it's not. But I think in aggregate, it is a sunset industry. Basically, British American Tobacco can only grow by ramping up pricing, frankly, on, you know, products that people are addicted to and find it very difficult to stop. So ethically, it's not a company that I would have in my portfolio personally. Everyone has their own views on this. The one thing I'll never get my head around is how highly they score on ESG metrics. Basically, British American Tobacco just does a very, 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 very good job of ticking the ESG boxes from a reporting and other perspectives so that they can be in these indices. We just sit back logically and just say to yourself, you know, if you've gone and invested in an ESG-friendly index, it's supposed to be the sort of warm and fuzzy, you know, bunnies and unicorns type stocks, and then you end up holding British American Tobacco. I'm not sure that's why people buy ESG stuff. But that's maybe more of a comment on ESG itself than the company. In terms of what the company is doing, they're hosting a capital markets day this week, so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. But it's very much a mid-single-digit growth story. It's not a growth market at all. It's seen as a cash cow. that in theory should keep generating, you know, pretty dependable dividends. I personally have never really seen the point in that, if I'm honest. I think there are a lot of other ways to go and get a decent yield on the market other than from a sunset industry. So it's a specific type of investor who adds British American Tobacco to their portfolio. It's just not for me.
So our attention on the financial services sector. Now, we talk quite often here on the Business Report to CEOs and CFOs of many of the financial institutions here in Namibia that report results, more especially the banks and insurance companies. And it really seems like getting into the financial services space is just a ticket to print money. Sometimes these organizations do exceptionally well, even in tough periods. But a share, a company that has often struggled and is either misunderstood or doesn't have a proper strategy in place or has some other systemic issues, is a company called Sasfin. They've also managed to pick up 160 million rand fine, an administrative fine. Tell us what's going on at Sasfin.
Now, Sasfin is a great question, actually. They've kind of been the perennial underperformer. Bank just really doesn't do well. I don't think I've made myself too popular with their management team because I've previously commented that literally you are better off investing in a fixed deposit there than in the actual shares, because the return on equity at Sasfin at times has been lower than they will actually pay you on a deposit, which is kind of shocking. And it's a whole lot of issues, really. It's just a subscale bank. You know, they don't really have an obvious purpose in the market. I mean, what is Sasfin really known for? Outside of some of their traditional areas of strength, you know, for years they would advertise their trade finance business, but it's really their wealth and investment management side that I think is kind of the cream of the crop in the group. And remember, they're in the process of actually trying to take the thing private with partners. So, you know, Sasfin is unlikely to be on the market for too much longer. We'll see how that deal plays out, but they're not going to go out on a happy note for sure. Their latest period reflects really, really poor numbers, but also a huge administrative sanction of 160 million rand from the Prudential Authority for alleged non-compliance in their Forex operations. Now, that fine came through in August, and the latest numbers actually deal with the period ended June. But because they know about it, they went and made a provision for it. So even though the fine was after year end, it actually has affected the latest numbers. And that's why they are reporting a very large headline loss per share versus headline earnings per share in the previous year. To give some context to just how severe that fine is, the fine of 160 million rand is more than the headline earnings of 113 million rand that they achieved in 2023. But it's not just the fine that has put them in the red. You know, their business, as I said, is generally speaking not a great performer. They've had fair value losses. They've had credit impairments. I'm not sure how much of it they'll be able to fix in the private markets effectively away from the public eye, but it is a lot easier to turn a business around when you're not listed. You can just do things a lot faster. So hopefully over time they'll figure that out, but they really, you know, have just been left for dead in a number of ways by their banking competitors. Financial services, tough industry, and you've really got to compete at a high level to make it work.
And for our last story today, and I hope, Ghost, you'll note to some satisfaction my restraint. So even though Trusco popped up in your excellent newsletter, Ghost Bites, you can get along to ghostmail.co.za and subscribe to any number of newsletters and information pieces and podcasts that are there. I didn't bring it up. So let's move on now to our last story, and that is Quantum Foods, a poultry industry company, has had a real rough time of it recently. But it would seem, as we've seen in many other companies where load shedding has played a major cost driver, that the reduction in load shedding, aside from a number of other factors, have given Quantum some reason to smile. Tell us what's going on at Quantum.
Gary, your restraint on Trusco is noted and appreciated, let me tell you, because it is quite difficult normally to unpack what's going on there. Quantum Foods, however, I do note that you did pick another tricky one, and why not? You know, this is the stuff that keeps the market interesting. Quantum Foods, for a business with its head office, I think, in Little Wellington, just outside Paul, has been in the headlines a lot. And there's been loads of boardroom drama. There's been shareholder activist strategies underway. There's been a lot going on, truly. And, you know, this doesn't change the fact that the chickens are out there laying eggs and things are looking better in their business. So I'm sure to management's great joy, not least of all in terms of their ongoing survival on the board and keeping shareholder activists at bay, the numbers are looking a lot better. So they're expecting headline earnings per share of at least 70 cents a share for the year ended September 2024, a huge improvement from a headline loss of 17.4 cents in the comparable period. And it feels like everything has finally just come right for the poultry sector, or at least gotten a bit better after what was a really tough period. So load shedding is gone, and that results in lower diesel generator costs. Raw material costs are down, so the chickens are literally cheaper to feed. And that's a major part of the cost here, because poultry has got very, very, very thin margins. So, you know, a small change in what it costs you to feed the chickens makes a big difference to your profits. There's also been, you know, way less in the way of bird flu. Egg selling prices have moved higher, so that also helps margins. Plus, their businesses in Africa have done better as well. So, you know, there was some pressure on costs from all of the professional fees that they've incurred to deal with all these shareholder and director disputes. But on the whole, a really, really positive period for them. And that's even with the Malmesbury feed mill having an explosion in June, and the recoveries from insurance only coming in the next period. So still some bad luck this year, but on the whole, things are just so much better that the quantum numbers look fantastic. And it's true across the sort of poultry industry. We've seen a strong recovery. Hopefully it continues, because, you know, if these horrible things can just stay away, like load shedding, etc., poultry businesses can make money despite the very thin margins.
All right, let's leave that there. Thank you, Ghost. We'll chat to you again next week. That's this week's edition of Ghost Biz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and remember, you can go online. If you missed some of these stories or you want to hear some of the previous episodes, they're all online. Go to nova.com.na or wherever you pick up your podcasts, on Spotify as well, as well as Apple. You can go pick up these episodes and full episodes of the Business Report. We'll be back next week with more Ghost Biz.